Morning, Cross Point. How wonderful it is to be able to gather together to worship and exalt the name of our great God. I've often had this thought that of all the organizations and institutions in the world today, some of which are very important, the most important institution, organization, is the Church of Jesus Christ. I mean, we are the people of God. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. We know Jesus, who holds everything together. We know Jesus, who has all authority in heaven and earth. We know Jesus, who is the Savior of the world. At the end of this world, the one institution that will remain standing is the Church of Jesus Christ. The Church is the center of worship in the world today. And so let's stand together. Let's lift our voices together. And let's raise a hallelujah. A hallelujah in the presence of my enemy. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. Our weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. I raise a
melody. Oh, sing a little louder.
Heaven comes to fight for me.
Sing a little. in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar.
You may be seated. Good morning. My name is Jason. I am one of the associate pastors here at Crosspoint, and we're glad that you're here. If you're watching at home, we're glad that you're doing that this morning as well, and we would love to know that you're in tune with us, that you're watching with us, and so fill out a welcome card online, or if you're here, scan the QR code in the pew around you and let us know a little bit about yourself and how we can be praying for you. Just a few announcements that I want to call your attention to. You can read them in the physical service program that we have out there, but I want to call your attention to just three. The first is that men's softball will return on May 14th. Games this year will be played at Centerline Parks and Recreation. There's more information, it says, and fan facts available at yourc3.org/softball. We are wrapping up this week our Equip Tool fundraiser. This is where we are gathering funds to purchase tools for mission work in Europe, the Che Euronet Toolbox. If you're interested in purchasing those, you should visit yourc3.org/equip for more information as to how you can be a part of that. And then we are hosting a blood drive on May 8th, and so appointments are required. They are still available, yourc3.org/Red Cross. There's many other things going on here at Crosspoint that you can be praying about. Our upcoming vacation Bible school and our nursery school, as they're continuing through the year, would appreciate your prayers, I am sure. Let's pray. God, we are grateful to be able to gather together today. We're grateful to be able to think about what you have done for us and what you continue to do for us in our lives. We're thankful that we can gather in freedom to worship you without fear of repercussion. And we know, Lord, that many of our brothers and sisters in Christ worldwide do not share that same freedom. And so this morning we pray that they will have courage, that they will have boldness, and that they will honor you in what they are called to do as well. Help us this morning to not have our minds filled with all of the things that will happen the rest of the day and the rest of the week, but instead help us to focus in on you right now and to understand better what it is that you have for us today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The years of 2020 and 2021 will not be forgotten anytime soon. The pandemic and the loss of life, by the way, like a nickname for me would be Mr. Serious, so I'm too serious, just forgive me, that's me. But the pandemic and the great loss of life, the brutality and grief of racism, the mass shootings, the politicization of just about everything, it has really exposed the sinful brokenness of our world and our country, our churches, and ourselves. In Habakkuk 1:13, we read, "Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing." And I have often heard from this verse that God cannot look on sin. And there's a sense in which that is true. He is pure. He is holy. He is righteous. He dwells in unapproachable light. But that is not the whole story. God is love. And God loves the world so much to the point that he sent his son Jesus not only to look upon sin, but to dwell in the midst of sin and to experience the brutality and evil and destruction of sin for our sakes. So we're going to sing some songs about the love and the goodness of God. And one of the songs that we're going to sing, we've not ever sung it here at Cross Point. It's a new rendition of Psalm 23 because we're in Psalm 23 right now. So let's stand together and let's sing about the love and the goodness of God. Story of my life. You go before, you fall behind. Yeah. Before a breath beyond my death, you are with me all the way to everlasting. I can't run and I can't hide. Even darkness is a light. From the lowest place to the highest praise, you are worthy. Amazing love, how can it be? Far too wonderful for me. There's only one thing left to say. You are from the lowest place to the highest praise.
You are worthy. Amazing love, how can it be? Far too wonderful for me. There's only one thing left to say. You are worthy. My shepherd, I shall not want. In green pastures, he makes me lie down. He restores my soul and leads me on for his name. Surely goodness, surely mercy, right beside me all my days, and I will dwell in your house forever, and the terror of night is at my door. I'll trust you, Lord. Surely goodness, surely mercy, right beside me all my days. And I will dwell.
Gracious Father, we are humbled and we are delighted in your mercy and your goodness, and that you are our good shepherd, and we lack for nothing. Oh God, we praise you, we bow before you, we exalt your name, and we love the Lord Jesus. We thank you. Amen. Your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am in, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. From knowing you as a father, I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. Is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Every breath.
the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.
Maybe see.
We are in Psalm 23, so I want to invite you to turn there. Last week, Pastor Matt began this psalm with us, exploring that opening phrase of this very familiar song, "The Lord is my shepherd." And really, last week, we focused primarily on those first few words, "the Lord." Who the Lord is. He's the Creator God who revealed himself to Moses. Then Pastor Matt took us through Scripture and looked at many passages where we start to hear about the shepherd, and he pointed out to us and helped us to see that Jesus identifies himself as the shepherd, that Jesus brings this metaphor that the Old Testament applies to God the Father, and Jesus says, that's what I'm trying to do here. That's what I'm doing here. I am your shepherd. And then we shall not want. Rather than worrying, we need to step back and listen to the words of our shepherd. So if you weren't here last week, I encourage you to find that sermon, listen to it later this week, just so that you see the progression of the psalm. And so we're going to build on what Pastor Matt set up for us last week, looking specifically today at our relationship with Christ as our shepherd. And so if you're able, I want to invite you to stand, and we are going to read this out loud together, just like we did last week. Now, I know I don't have to say this to any of you, but it's not a race. Whenever you try and read something out loud with children, it's a race. It isn't a race. Let's read it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you. You may be seated. And I want to say well done, because we didn't put the last part up there. That's on me. But you managed, although I heard a mixture of passages. Some of us learned that a long time ago in the King James Version. Then you learned it in the NIV. Now we're putting it up here in the ESV. We've gotten bitter emails about that. But it's a familiar passage. And you know what? When something is familiar, we tend to tune it out. Yesterday, my daughter was playing basketball, and I got to go watch her. And as I'm watching her, the coach on the other team screamed the entire game. Some of it was amusing. He told one girl, "You catch the ball with your hands, not your face." And I even laughed at that. But he kept yelling the whole time. And at the beginning of the game, it seemed as though the girls tried to do what he was saying. And by the end, they were just like, "Is he yelling still?" They had totally tuned it out because it had become familiar. And this psalm, for a lot of us, is familiar. And whenever something is familiar, we have this tendency to tune it out. But this morning, I want us to listen carefully to these first few verses in the psalm and hear what is a song of trust. A song of trust of someone who, in the middle of very difficult times in their life, looks and either is looking back to see what God has done, or in the midst of that is saying, "Look what God is doing." And we say often that we don't know everything that everyone here is going through, but I do know and I do believe that there are many of us here today who are in difficult times. Some of us have come out of those times. And so this psalm serves as a comfort to us. It serves as a reminder that Christ cares for us as a good shepherd cares for his sheep. Now, if you're like me, this whole sheep-shepherd thing, it's going to require a little bit of an explanation. We like to nod a lot because it's a metaphor used a lot in Christian language and in Christianity, but how many of us really have a lot of experience with sheep? How many of us spent a summer as a shepherd? Not many of us. And so as a metaphor, it may be that we don't grasp everything that David here is getting at. We should note that this is, if we're working through the Psalms, one moving forward, once we get to 23, this is the first time this metaphor appears. All of the other metaphors that David or other psalmists have used have been good metaphors, but kind of a little bit distant. Shield, it's kind of impersonal. Rock, king even, a deliverer. These are powerful. I'm not saying they're not powerful, but they lack the intimacy of shepherd, of sheep and shepherd. A shepherd lives with his flock. A shepherd is with his flock. He's everything to his flock. And without a good shepherd, a flock of sheep have very little hope. David's psalm is a reminder that we have a good shepherd. We have a shepherd who brings peace. We have a shepherd who leads us, and we have a shepherd who restores us. This is how we as believers have been cared for. So when we start in verse 2, it says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." Now, we might read that part and develop this kind of picture or image of a shepherd kind of forcing a sheep to lie down. He makes me lie down. I've had kids, it's time for a nap. I have made them lie down, right? There's an action involved there. This word in the Hebrew, makes me lie down, that's all one word. And so we don't have a good word for it here in English, so we have to come up with what we think fits best. But the sense here is not that the shepherd is forcing the sheep to lie down, but that the shepherd has brought the sheep to a place and created and worked in an environment so that the sheep will lay down. All right, it involves green pastures. The shepherd has sought out an environment where sheep might thrive, and they cannot do this unless it is peaceful. A good shepherd brings peace. He brings peace. Philip Keller wrote a wonderful book. It's a short book, and I commend it to you. It's called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, and it really digs into this metaphor and helps those of us who know nothing of sheep and nothing of shepherding to see better maybe what David was thinking about as he wrote this psalm. He says that in order for sheep to feel like they can lay down, in order for them to feel peaceful, they need four things. They need to be free from four things: free from fear, free from friction, free from flies, and free from famine. They need to be free of fear. They need to be kept in such a way that predators aren't a problem for them. You know, sheep do not really have effective defenses. They can bite. They can kick a little bit. They're not super fast. They can't run away from predators. They're not super smart. Don't have great eyesight, hearing, all of these things. All right, so they are easy prey for a coyote, for a wolf, for a number of predators. But a good shepherd protects his sheep. And David here is speaking from experience. We know that David spoke about having defended his sheep from bears, from lions. David knows that it is the job of a good shepherd to protect his sheep. To bring peace, a shepherd also has to deal with the fears, of the flock, but also with friction. Sheep, I'm told, are social animals. And if a sheep has a problem with another sheep, that's problematic. They will go at one another. There will be problems in the flock. And so you have to separate this one from this one. A good shepherd knows, I can't let Sally near Molly. I've got to move them to other areas. And so the shepherd knows what that sheep needs in order to feel peace and will move the sheep around. All right, they will keep them moving. But then there's also this problem of flies. Sheep can be bothered by flies and other parasites to the point where they can't be calm. A good shepherd knows what kind of oils, what kind of other things are needed in order to deal with the problem of pests. And then finally, there's this issue of famine. A sheep will not relax. They will not feel at peace if they are hungry. So a good shepherd makes sure that they're fed appropriately. They take them to green pastures so that they can eat well. They make sure that the food they're getting is good food and the kind of food that will prepare them for what comes next. They make sure they have what they need. So when sheep lie down in green pastures, it implies that they're free from these worries, that they've been cared for by their shepherd physically, emotionally, and in any other way that they may need to be cared for. And I think the key point for us is that sheep can't do that on their own. Sheep cannot bring themselves to a sense of peace such that the world around them can be crumbling and they can still lie down in green pastures. They can't find or attain that on their own. So a good shepherd makes sure that they have and are brought to the area where they need to be so that they can feel that sense of peace. I think a lot of what Dave said earlier in introducing the songs that we sang, talking about how difficult of a past couple years we've had, we have seen and still are seeing people searching for peace, just looking and hoping for peace, and putting their hope in all sorts of things. And you might think yourself that if you just get to something else, then peace will come. If I just get to this next project and I'm able to complete it, I will have this sense of peace that I long for, that I crave. If I can raise the children well, launch them, and then get them out, I will have then this sense of peace. When I get a promotion, when I retire, then I will feel this sense of peace that I long for. But for the believer, for the one who is following after Jesus, we have a shepherd who will care for us in all the ways that we need to be cared for, so that, as we will read later, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because Jesus has brought to us a sense of peace in knowing that he is in control, that he is leading us, that he is guiding us. And even in those difficult times, we'll be able to sing of the goodness of God, remembering that he's been with us. Let me ask, how do you feel? Do you feel peace? It doesn't mean that we will not have concerns about the day. It doesn't mean that we won't read something and in our heart that we won't begin to lament. It doesn't mean that we won't pray things like, how long, O Lord, as Pastor Matt preached about a few weeks ago. But what it means is that in the midst of all of that, there isn't a deep concern of knowing who is in control. There's a concern, or there's a trust, and there's a confidence in knowing that God is there, that Christ is our shepherd, and that he's taking us somewhere where we can have that peace, so that even in the midst of difficult times, we can have that peace. And let me just say that if you don't sense that, if you crave that, if you want to know more about that, find someone to talk to. Find someone to open up to. Find someone to pray with you, to show you what Scripture says about who Christ is and how that changes our life. Don't walk away from here today wanting peace but not having it. And David, though, as he continues, also recognizes that a shepherd doesn't just bring peace, but he also leads his sheep. He leads his sheep. In one sense, it's implicit that as a good shepherd is going to bring sheep into green pastures, right? If he's going to bring them in there, there's this leading. But David then uses that word lead twice. He says, a shepherd leads beside the still waters and leads me in the path of righteousness. Water is important for sheep. It's important for any animal. It's important for us. And when they're thirsty, they can become restless and they set out to find water on their own. The problem is that a sheep doesn't always know if this is good water or bad water. So they will settle for a puddle at the bottom of a hill rather than climb to the top to find the stream where it began. They will settle for some sort of rancid standing water because it's close and it's easy and that's where the other sheep are, rather than seek out what is best for them on their own. And so it's important for them to be moving. And Keller, in his book, talks about the greatest single safeguard that a shepherd has in handling his flock is to keep them on the move, to move them around. He leads them to right pastures, to the right water source, to safety. And so David then keys in on this concept and basically says, just as they will lead a sheep to still water, to calm water, to good water, our shepherd will lead us in the paths of righteousness. In David's mind, he's talking about right living, and he's thinking about the law. God will bring them and direct them back to his law, and that will lead them in the way of right living. We stand, as we've said before, in a different time than David. We would look and say the law, that our understanding could be the entirety of Scripture. That when it talks about leading us in the direction of right living, of the paths of righteousness, it's a life applied to God's word. It's a life lived through the lens of Scripture. So when we come to these two metaphors of water and path, and we bring them into our spiritual life, David is saying that a good shepherd will lead us in the direction that is best for us. Sheep don't always know what's best for sheep. I don't have sheep. The closest I have ever come to owning a sheep is when my youngest daughter won first place. She won the first place prize for mutton busting at the Iowa State Fair in 2019. She rode a sheep like a rodeo rider on a bull, and she lasted on that sheep longer than any other kid her age. If it sounds like I'm proud, it's because I am. That sheep, she will tell you, never knocked her off. She let go. And I will tell you, it's about as cool as it sounds. But that's as close as I've ever come to owning a sheep. We do have a dog at home. Really, we have a puppy. And what we like to say about our dog, we say about our puppy, and other people have said it as well, oh, what a smart dog. And I'm like, okay, maybe, right? But not comparatively, right? People sometimes like to say animals are so smart for an animal, right? My dog might be a smart dog, but he does not know what is best. He does not know what is best for him. I know what is best for him. And in a similar way, we may think that we have a handle on things. We may think that we know what is best for our life, but in reality, we don't. In reality, when we make choices and decisions only based on how we feel in the moment or what we think is best, independent of what God has revealed as being good and right in Scripture, we will find that path to not be a path of righteousness, but to be a path of disappointment. We will find ourselves a feasting at a stream of rancid, putrid water rather than being led up in a more difficult path up the mountain to where the water is pure. And David is reminding us, our way is not necessarily the best way. And so rather than looking for something to satisfy our thirst, looking for things to make us feel whole outside of what God has revealed to us, we need to look instead to Jesus. We need to look at him who declared himself to be living water. A good shepherd leads his sheep, and we need to be led by Jesus. I would say if the past year and a half has taught me anything in my heart, it's that I need to be led by Jesus. Now, as I was preparing this sermon, I was reminded of an old hymn that we used to sing growing up at my church, "He Leadeth Me." Good King James there, leadeth, right? It was written by a man named Joseph Gilmore in 1862 during the Civil War. There's social, economic, and public upheaval. The nation is divided. People are following different leaders. They're following different political systems. They have different convictions. And Gilmore sensed a need to be reminded that God is the one who leads the life of the believer. And so he was preparing to preach on this psalm. And as he was preparing over and over again, he kept going back to this idea of being led. And this is what he wrote. "It was the darkest hour of the Civil War. It may subconsciously have led me to realize that God's leadership is the one significant fact in human experience, that it makes no difference how we are led or whither we are led, so long as we are sure God is leading us." And so the hymn, it begins with this phrase, "He leadeth me." It says, "He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me." And if you sang the entire song in all of its verses, you would say that phrase, "He leadeth me," 17 times. Because it was important to Gilmore that thought be driven home, that as a believer, we are not led by political leaders. We are not led by systems of government, that ultimately we are led by our shepherd, who is Christ. And this isn't the Civil War right now, but it certainly feels divisive. It feels, some days I wake up, I read the news, it feels like we're sitting on a powder keg wondering what's going to happen today. What is going to happen next? But in these moments of unrest and in these moments of not being sure about things, we have to choose to be led by our shepherd. We have to look for him. We have to follow him. Who will we allow ourselves to be followed by or led by? So many of us, we follow a cable news person. We follow someone that we listen to on the radio in the afternoon or in the morning. We follow the person that we read this morning. We follow someone who had a weekend keyboard warrior who printed out a nice or typed out a fun tweet. We follow this, we follow that. Are you going to allow these people to push your buttons and direct your emotions, or are you going to be led by Jesus? Will you turn to his word for answers and for direction? And when I look around and when I look at my own hearts, we let other people lead us far too much. Be led by Christ. Follow his word. And he brings peace, he leads, and then David brings us to this concept of restoration. He restores. He restores my soul. Sheep are constantly in need of restoration. Philip Keller talks about this idea of a cast sheep. That sheep, because of their center of gravity, maybe because of the amount of wool that they have on their body, I don't know. But there are times where they will lay down in a depression on the ground, and then they will lay onto their side, and they'll feel comfortable, and then they'll start to turn, and they'll keep turning until their feet end up in the air. And they can't move. And they will start to panic. And by panicking, they end up in a worse position. And they cannot fix themselves. Sometimes, it clearly leads them very open to the predators around them, but even more so, just because of the gases in their stomach and other things that happen biologically, it can kill a sheep. They can die because of this. And so it puts them in an incredibly vulnerable position because sheep can't take care of themselves. You may have seen this video popping around. It kind of gives a little bit of a concept of that. He's stuck. He's saved. And stuck again. Been going around lately, and I think it's pretty indicative of what David's talking about. I have a number of questions. You know, first off, who digs ditch? That wasn't in America, but wherever it is, you don't need a ditch like that. I just think in general, if an animal can get stuck like that in the ditch, make it bigger or maybe just fill it in. That's my thought. But it's picturesque, isn't it? I mean, this is kind of how we live. We end up stuck somewhere. Oh, Lord, please help us. It'll never happen. We start to bargain in our heart, right? I'll be at church. Make this go away, whatever. We feel like we've been set free, and we're good now. We take off. Boom. Again. See, we are in need of restoration, and that word is important. It applies really into our Christian life and in our life as people in general in two ways. The first is understanding that we are in need of restoration from our sin. We sang about this, we talked about this, about how the sin that is in our heart, right, puts us in a position of a deep need for a Savior who came into this world so that we could be made right with God. We need that initial restoration. But then as we start living our Christian life, we find that maybe while we don't need restoration from sin in the salvation sense, we've had that, that's been accomplished in our life, but we need restoration daily. Sometimes moment by moment, thought by thought. We need our shepherd to lead us through his word to say, no, not that way, this way. Don't do it like that. Do it like this. And the only one who can restore the sheep in the case of a cast sheep or like this video that we saw is a shepherd. We can't fix it on our own. We can't restore ourselves. And so we might laugh at something like that, and we should. But in many cases, that reflects our life. That reflects how we live. But I am thankful that no matter how many times I, as a person, dive headlong into a hole like that, my shepherd doesn't look and say, enough's enough. It's the beauty of grace and the beauty of forgiveness. God doesn't look at us and say, you know what? I'm tired of pulling you out of this hole. Scripture teaches, the Bible shows us, that's what God does. He doesn't leave you there. He doesn't forget you. He doesn't move on to an easier sheep. He pulls you out, sets you up, and says, stay on the path of righteousness. Let's go. And so we follow. And then we leave. And then we jump. And then we're in a hole again. And he pulls us out. And he reminds us, follow, follow, follow. I don't know where you're at today. Some of you are probably in that hole. Some of you are about to jump in a hole. Some of you have recently been pulled out of a hole. Those are really our only three options. But in each circumstance, we need to remind ourselves, we need to preach to ourselves, follow, follow, follow. Sheep don't really have much of a choice, do they? I mean, they're either going to follow their shepherd or bad things are going to happen. Keller writes in his book that if there's a sheep that refuses to follow, oftentimes that sheep is killed because they lead the other sheep away. We have a choice. We have a decision to make. We're either going to choose to follow our shepherd or we're going to choose to go at it alone, like a sheep open to the wiles of any kind of predator, open to the dangers of the world, open to the dangers of our own idiocy. We can go at it by ourselves. Or we can choose to follow the crowd. It looks like everyone's having fun over there. We'll go that way. But we're going to have to follow something. You're going to have to follow somebody. And that word follow is used often in the New Testament to explain what it means to make Christ the center of your life. Jesus called his disciples to follow him. He challenged those around him to take up their cross and follow him, to follow. Who are you following? Who is leading you? We're going to close with a couple of songs. And these songs might be familiar to you. And if they are, don't let the familiarity of them, don't let the excitement of maybe singing something you haven't sung in a long time, don't let that cloud the words. To some of you, there'll be new songs. But in either case, let the words be the prayer of your heart. That where God leads us, we're going to follow. Where our shepherd goes, we're going in that direction. And not because we're forced to, not because we're being led in such a way that we're being threatened, but we're following our shepherd because we're choosing to follow him. Because we have found where he leads us is better than any other place. So I want to invite you to stand as we sing.
We know this song. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I'll go with him, all the way. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me,
I will follow. I'll go with him, with him all the way. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back.
Will you pray with me? Jesus, thank you. Thank you for being our good shepherd who brings us peace, who leads us in the best direction for our lives, who restores us when we cannot restore ourselves. I ask that you will give us the strength and desire to follow after you, not only for today, but for all the days of our lives. Help us to honor you, to glorify you, to love you with our words, our actions, and our thoughts. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Though none go with